This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
I think when this is all said and done, we're going to have time to stop and look back and say, should things have done differently? I think everyone involved in the response has things they could have done better.
That's Senator Marco Rubio's response to President Trump's fight with the mayor of San Juan.
You know, I think, you know, once you're a fighter and you are somebody that really believes in public service, you just never really stop.
A big week for Annette Tadeo, who, after several failed attempts at public office, is now a new state senator.
There's some of this that's out of my control, and that is the timing around whatever it is that the FBI wants to do or plans to do. I don't personally fear at all for my own involvement because I know what I've done, obviously.
As the FBI investigates public corruption in the capital city, the dragnet is making a serious dent in Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum's race for governor. Also, Democratic strategist Steve Schell joins the program to talk a little Florida politics. All that and more coming up on episode 123 of The Rotunda.
We are dying here, and I cannot fathom the thought that the greatest nation in the world cannot figure out logistics for a small island of 100 miles by 35 miles long.
San Juan Mayor Carmen Cruz made a passionate plea for assistance to Puerto Rico and blasted the Trump administration for not doing enough, especially as the administration was already attempting to peddle a positive narrative in the midst of the disaster. Listen to this clip from CNN with Department of Homeland Security Secretary Elaine Duke.
It is really a good news story in terms of our ability to reach people and the limited number of deaths that have taken place in such a devastating hurricane.
Good Mayor.
Well, maybe from where she's standing, it's a good news story. When you're drinking from a creek, it's not a good news story. When you don't have food for a baby, it's not a good news story. When you have to pull people down from their buildings, because, you know, that, I'm sorry, but that really upsets me and frustrates me. You know, I would ask her to come down here and visit the towns and then make a statement like that, which frankly, it is an irresponsible statement.
Trump unleashed a Category 5 style attack via Twitter against Cruz, even using the terms like fake news and politically motivated ingrate. Senator Marco Rubio was asked about the fight during an appearance on Face the Nation, but this is all he had to say.
And so I think when this is all said and done, we're going to have time to stop and look back and say, should things have done differently? I think everyone involved in the response has things they could have done better. But right now, I hope we'll stay 100% focused on what needs to be done to get the people of Puerto Rico help. And then we'll have plenty of time in the future to have these debates about who didn't do the right thing or what could have been done better.
Let's switch gears to some positive news for Democrats, all thanks to Annette Tadeo. Or should the thanks go to former Republican Senator Frank Artiles? If you remember his continued alcohol-fueled feuds at bars in Tallahassee. Tadeo, a Democrat, won her seat over Republican State Representative Jose Felix Diaz. But this has been a long journey for Tadeo. She ran twice for Congress, also a county commission race, and she was Charlie Crist's gubernatorial running mate back in 2014. I toured Washington, D.C. with Tadeo, just the congressional offices, back in January. Here's what she had to say back then about her journey.
How does it feel? What are you doing here today?
Great to be back. What am I doing here? I'm celebrating that a lot of my friends got into Congress, including Charlie Crist, and Val Demings, and Darren Soto, and so many wonderful people from Florida.
Yeah, a very close friend. You were once soon to be Lieutenant Governor of Florida.
Yes, very close election.
And many elections later, and then subsequently you ran for Congress.
Yes,
as
this
well.
Time, yes.
And it was very close.
Very
it
close,
was like,
yes.
I think 50 to, I don't even know the exact number, but it was a close margin.
Yes, about 1%, 700 or so votes to be exact. So very close.
So what's next for you following that?
You know, I think, you know, once you're a fighter and you are somebody that really believes in public service, you just never really stop. And I've never needed a title or a position to be, you know, just a person that continues to speak on behalf of working people and women and minorities. I just think, you know, our country is going through an interesting and challenging political times. And, you know, I just think we can't walk away. We have to continue to stay engaged. I think people realize now more than ever how important it is to stay truly engaged.
Yeah.
And truly engaged she is, as she will be coming up to Tallahassee to represent Southwest Dade in Senate District 40. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes.
Down there, guys.
Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum was out and about in the community during a benefit concert for first responders following Tropical Storm Irma that hit the city. The fall weather was kicking in with a little chill and lots of breeze, of which it made the scene all the more fun for his twins, Caroline and Jackson.
So how's the campaign going for you?
It's going really well. We got back out on the road after being down from the storm for a couple of weeks and are now headed down to speak to a huge group of pastors at football stadium in Jacksonville on next week, then headed down to Miami doing my first physical fundraiser for the first time in quite a while. And then we are, you know, headed back this way to continue doing the work I got to do here in the city of Tallahassee. But it's going, you know, really well. We were down for a while after kicking off our college tour, which was an awesome experience, particularly with so many young people who typically are not counted on to participate in midterm elections. We're really intent on increasing the number of young people between the ages of 18 and 35 participating. Right now, they're fewer than 5%. Of turnout in the August elections, and we want to triple that, and I feel confident in our ability to do that.
What's been most challenging so far in this race for you? There are some things that are going on that are on the periphery with regard to, like, you know, Tallahassee.
The jury set to meet again next week in the ongoing investigation of development deals in the city of Tallahassee. Subpoenas have been served to several prominent business leaders and one city.
Vegas, the group posing with a dwarf in a dress. The Tallahassee Democrat first posting that photo Wednesday.
Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum, who's running for governor, was also photographed with the agents on a boat in New York City.
But if you didn't know, there is a massive FBI investigation that has gotten the entire city on edge, since it includes some of Tallahassee's most prominent movers and shakers.
Yes. How has that impacted you in this race?
Well, for real, they're not in the periphery for us. I mean, it is, it's been written about quite rigorously here in Tallahassee, some of it strictly reporting, other of it innuendo, and that obviously impacts our ability to get into some communities where I'm not known yet and have to introduce myself and begin by addressing those kinds of questions. Obviously, it is not the best way you want to introduce yourself to a new group of people, but I feel really confident that once this cloud is removed, that we're going to continue to be in the best position to secure the Democratic nomination in August of 2018.
So what's your strategy to try and get past this, if you can?
Well, I tell you, there's some of this that's out of my control, and that is the timing around whatever it is that the FBI wants to do or plans to do. I don't personally fear at all for my own involvement, because I know what I've done, obviously, which has never been contrary to the law or ethics. And I've been elected 15 years for doing stupid things. I've been elected because I've been always interested in trying to make the community better for the time that I've been able to serve. What I have been doing, in spite of all of this going on, is staying low to the ground. People vote. Newspapers don't vote. Ink doesn't vote. Even big money doesn't necessarily decide who the nominee will be. The folks who will decide will be the regular, average, you know, folks who get up every single day putting one foot in front of the other to try to make a way for themselves and their families. And I am their candidate. And so it's my job to stay connected to them, persist throughout what's going on. And at the end of the day, we're going to win because we're going to outwork everybody.
What do you make of John Morgan? And
I like John Morgan.
You like him? But what if he jumps into this race?
I'd like him even more. Look, the more serious contenders are in this race, frankly, the easier my job is. I know what I've got to accomplish. I know the voters that I have to speak to. I know the percentage of the vote that I have to get. And a good percentage of that vote isn't going anywhere from me. And so...
do you think you can outshine him or be the victor if he jumps in?
I will be excited to see whomever jumps in. It's going to be a good race of ideas. And I feel very, very confident that it does not impact our win scenario at all.
Do you think you can win against him?
I do. I believe we're going to win against each of our opponents.
All right. Well, good talking to you.
Good talking to you too, man.
I see
man.
Your kids running around
here.
Yeah,
I was about to say, God knows what they've gotten into. No, they're going to go sit down and watch this show.
All right. Thank you.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, bringing you the stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Each week, this program is supported by listeners like you, and we are always thankful for your support. If you're new to this program, welcome, make yourself at home. Visit rotundapodcast.com. Follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, at Rotunda Podcast, and on Facebook. Oh, and you too can easily hit the donate button on rotundapodcast.com and send your generous financial contribution to keep this program going. All right, let's chat about all of this news with a fellow political junkie. This one happens to be a top Democratic strategist, Steve Schell, who was gracious enough to do this interview on his birthday. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, Tramell. It's an interesting birthday. It's that one where I'm equidistance away from getting Social Security that I haven't been able to drink. So I guess it officially means I'm solidly middle-aged.
From the political lens, let's take a look at the responses to the back-to-back hurricanes. Let's zero in on the ones here in Florida.
Well, I think the big thing on these storms is you don't really know for a while what the sort of long-term politics are. You know, I think, Irma, all in all, was a fairly solid success up until this issue with the nursing home came out. And so I think that the biggest thing at this point is making sure that the state sort of learns some lessons, how we adjust going forward. Whether or not there's any sort of political fallout long term, it's sort of hard to say. We're still a long ways away from the election.
So what do you make of the response or lack of response coming from the Trump administration to Hurricane Maria?
He made a comment about how it's hard to get to Puerto Rico, because it's an island and it's out in the ocean. And I think he used the term big water today, to which, I think most Americans look and say, well, Mr. President, if you only had access to a fleet of airplanes or maybe a fleet of boats, I think that, and again, I mean, I think particularly here in Florida, more acutely, there are almost every Puerto Rican who lives in Florida has family on the island because most, came here from the island. So, I think that that's why you're seeing more and more Florida public officials take a step up and decide to sort of engage themselves, not because it's being opportunistic, but frankly, because it's how you can, they have to do so to be responsive to their constituents, particularly if you're somebody from Central Florida.
So I know you like to follow the numbers, breaking down the data with all the voter statistics. What do you make of Annette Tadeo's victory over Jose Felix Diaz?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'm happy for Annette. I've known her for, well over 10 years now, and she's a really neat lady, successful businesswoman, has a great sort of immigrant story on her own. So I'm first and foremost just happy for Annette. I actually do hate it for Pepe, who is a friend. He and I worked together in a couple of projects outside of politics together, and I really enjoy him as a person. And as I said to some folks last week, I'm happy for democracy that voters down there actually had a really good choice. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, it's a race that, you know, Tadeo won despite being outspent, you know, between 2 and 3 to 1, depending upon what you believe. You know, in a district that, you know, is basically a jump ball even seat. Some might argue it's, you know, maybe 1 or 2 points favors the Democrats or Republicans. It's basically a jump ball seat. And so, you know, and she was able to turn the race into a referendum on President Trump. And I think that, you know, the message that sort of sends Republicans is they got to figure out how to deal with that. And in the same way that, you know, my party, you know, had to learn how to deal with voter anger towards President Obama in off-year elections in 2010 and 2014. And it can be really tricky. I mean, you know, midterm elections have lower turnout. They tend to be people who are more engaged in the process to begin with. And then sort of the surge voter, the unlikely midterm voter who comes out in a midterm usually does, at least in the last 3 midterms, has done so to send a message to the party in power of the president. And so I, as much as I love Annette, if Hillary Clinton was president, I think she probably would have had a much harder road to hoe here. But I think going forward, it just means there are going to be a lot more districts that are in play. And again, Republicans, you know, who very successfully for 8 years tried to turn every campaign from city council races to governor's races into a referendum on the president, President Obama, are now going to sort of get a little bit of their own medicine.
That's Democratic strategist Steve Shale. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes. Here's to progress. Florida joins 35 other states in offering online voter registration to its residents. Florida Secretary of State Ken Detzner has launched the registertovoteflorida.gov website in compliance with a 2015 law that required online registration to be available by October 1st. Residents can register to vote, update their current registrations, or fill out and print registration forms to turn in at local supervisor of elections office. So there you go. You can register online to vote. Is Florida's Public Service Commission serving the public, or is it serving the utilities it regulates? That's the question raised in a new report detailing how power companies in the state wield what researchers say is too much influence over the governor and legislature. Ben Wilcox, research director of Integrity Florida and co-author of the report, says the commission has been captured by the industries it regulates.
When I say captured, that means that the utilities have been able, through their campaign contributions and lobbying, to exert influence on the legislature and control, you know, the selection of public service commissioners. And they also have oversight over the Office of Public Counsel, which is supposed to represent the public.
The utilities have vigorously rejected similar claims by Integrity Florida and point to rate reductions some consumers have seen over the years as progress. The report suggests the public isn't being adequately represented by the commission, whose 5 members are appointed by the governor. Wilcox recommends changing the PSC to an elected body or a mix of elected and appointed members to make it more accountable to the people.
Doing so would give the, you know, the public a voice in selecting the members of the Public Service Commission. Currently, the public doesn't have a voice in that process.
Wilcox also recommends Florida follow best practices from other states, like Ohio, where commission membership also includes representatives from a consumer group and other professional organizations. That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Special thanks to Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum, Democratic strategist Steve Shale, and Integrity Florida's Ben Wilcox. Remember to follow us at Rotunda Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can contribute to this program and suggest topics and story ideas. Be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.